cómo organizarse y cómo combatir en áreas muy distintas.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning. It is Monday, May 18, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we start calling the shots.
About time we started calling the shots. I was Ann Feeney. That was War on the Workers, and this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I am host of the show.
And this is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Coming to you on May 18th, Monday. Boy, days are getting longer now. Jason, it's light out there. Thinking back, last winter, we'd get the show started here, and it was dark, wasn't it? And by gosh, sometimes there was snow on the ground, but that isn't happening anymore. We're into the 90s now. Summer is here. It's about all you're going to hear about the weather on the Brain Labor Report. We are about a struggle of that ordinary people have in this country. It's a war on the workers. Ann Feeney says it's right. Yeah, says it right. And rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. We're balancing the backs of this debt, the economic debt, balancing it on the backs of ordinary working people. Something's wrong here. We're doing it totally backwards in this country, folks. We bail out Bank of America, and yet people are still losing their jobs. You know, we bail out Wells Fargo, and people are still losing their health care. That's right. We bail out the big banks, and yet ordinary people who get up every morning. They put their boots on. They work hard. They put their gloves on. They go to work. And in fact, people are losing their jobs. It's absolutely bizarre. Why are we bailing out these banks? It just makes no sense at all. Okay, well, we're going to turn it around, but we got a lot of work to do. Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday. We're a half-hour show. We're out of Ashland, Oregon. KSKQ, 94.9 FM, right here in Ashland. You can hear streaming across the, over the internet and across the planet. www.kskq.org. The Brain Labor Report always has real anchor for our show. Near the top of our half hour show, the Workers Independent News. That's 3 minutes of cutting edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. So for Monday, May 18th, 2009, here is the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. UAW workers and their supporters are hitting the picket lines at the Chrysler engine plant in Kenosha, Wisconsin today. They're protesting the use of U.S. tax dollars to close that plant and ship its jobs to Mexico. Glenn Stark is president of UAW Local 72.
They're going to shut six U.S. plants down and not any of the four Mexico plants. In fact, 3 years later, now they're going to open a plant in Mexico doing the work that we were promised. It almost coincides with the date that we're supposed to close on. And to me, that's just unacceptable.
The Wisconsin AFL-CIO is urging support for the Kenosha workers, inviting the public to be on the picket line in support of the UAW Monday, starting at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. It's an effort to convince Chrysler to reconsider its restructuring plan and save the 800 American jobs rather than ship them to Mexico. Tuesday, the United Steelworkers Union will join auto workers on Capitol Hill in a push to convince lawmakers that a strong manufacturing industry in America is worth developing a national policy to preserve it. USW Vice President Tom Conway says that saving the domestic auto industry is job one, but the Obama administration also needs to get serious about a national industrial policy.
We think that this administration ought to strike itself a standing permanent committee right now about American manufacturing renewal and the value that's there and the long-term value it brings to communities.
Conway says economic and trade policies that let U.S. manufacturing wither and die are foolish, and they're devastating communities throughout the U.S.
Manufacturing has just waned and been allowed to die in the U.S., and I mean, fundamentally believe that if you don't mine something and mill it and manufacture it and put some labor and capital against it and add value to it, you really can't have fundamentally a solidly based economy.
The AFL-CIO says despite recent alarmist rhetoric, both the Social Security and Medicare programs remain sound. The AFL-CIO says Social Security is still running large surpluses and is able to pay benefits in full with no changes to the program for the next 30 years. The Labor Federation says radical changes and benefits cuts are not necessary, but health care reform is vital to reducing Medicare costs. If you came to work despite being sick today, you're not alone. Nearly 60 million U.S. workers have no paid sick days and are often forced to work sick or lose pay that they can't afford to lose. Dr. Judy Heyman, director of the Institute for Health and Social Policy at McGill University, says more than 160 countries guarantee that all workers get paid sick leave. A bill to do that in the U.S. was recently introduced in Congress. Monday in Washington, the Center for Economic and Policy Research is holding a public briefing to discuss the issue and how workers nationwide are impacted by having no paid sick days. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Okay, here's the plan. We're going to see if we can get our guest on the phone this morning, Mr. John DeGraff, a videographer. Anyone ever seen the film Affluenza? If you missed that, did you see Affluenza 2? John DeGraff's done some great, great work, and he happens to be involved with the fact that we work too much in this country. We're going to see if we can get him on the phone and see some of the activism that John's doing about maybe paid vacation. And so we'll find out about that, and perfect song for you while we get him on the horn. Whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Ann Feeney sings that, and well, let's listen to it right now. Here it is.
I was a welder pulling down 40,000 for
happened to the 8-hour day?
Okay, whatever happened to the 8-hour day? Boy, there's a question. I'm telling you, there is a difference between having a job and not. So many people don't have a job anymore. So many people who have a job still, lucky enough to have one, well, it ain't a 40-hour week. I'm telling you, 2 and 3 jobs are being worked many, many times. I think we're successful now. John, can you hear us this morning?
I can hear you.
John DeGraff, first off, welcome to the Brain Labor Report. Thanks for being our guest.
Pleasure to be on your show.
And I think you were before. We didn't search the archives. I think it was a while back. And John DeGraff.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming back. John
sure.
DeGraff. A videographer is how I know him, and done some great work. Affluenza, I think, is certainly an anchor in his career. John DeGraff, for our listeners who maybe do not know you, just briefly, a little bit about yourself. John, please.
Well, you're right, Wes. I'm a television documentary producer. That's my sort of basic career. I'm kind of a freelancer who works out of the Seattle PBS station and have done some 15 documentaries for PBS over the years, but I'm also an activist, and a lot of my activism centers around the question of work-life balance and time pressure in our society, overwork in our society, and all of the negative impacts that has on people and families and health and so forth.
Well, that's interesting. We want to delve into that just a little bit, and, you know, people... A lot of people it's an interesting economy, John. We are just irate over the fact that ordinary working people are balancing this horrible economy on our backs. You know, we're bailing out banks, and it's the benefits are not coming to ordinary workers. In fact, I pointed out that, you know, if you still got a job, that's a wonderful thing. You know, a lot of people being laid off. But the people who do work are working so incredibly long hours, and little bit about that, maybe a history on work, and why do we work so damn much, John? I don't understand it.
Well, we do work more than people in virtually every industrial country in the world. South Korea is probably an exception, but we even work more than the Japanese work, and certainly much longer, probably about 300 hours on average each year longer than Western Europeans work, so that's a big difference. One of the reasons for that is that we simply do not have any legal protections for workers in terms of the amount of time that they can be forced to work, essentially. There's no rules against compulsory overtime, for example. There are no laws protecting, giving people any right to sick days when they're sick. A huge issue now as we have these kind of potential epidemics and people are told, well, don't come to work, stay home. But when you have half the workers who don't have any sick days, that's a bit of a tough thing, especially since their wages haven't gone up either. And we're really the only, one of the very few countries, only 4 countries in the world that don't have any paid family leave when you have a child, so that's a huge impact for many families. And finally, we're one of a very small handful of countries that doesn't get paid vacation time by law. By contrast, the Europeans all get at least 4 weeks off after a year on the job. Most Europeans get 6 weeks off. But the median for American workers last year was only 1 week, so that's pretty shocking, and that's something that I'm working pretty hard right now to change.
Well, that's some change that's needed. I mean, my gosh, we're pretty efficient. We work very hard in this country. It doesn't make any sense to me. And by the way, with the economy tanking, it is being balanced on the backs of ordinary workers. It is time we turn this around, you know. I'd like to put a few of those CEOs of banks on permanent vacation, John. But
I think that's a feeling that a lot of people share, but I think it's the more important thing is to give some paid vacation time to the millions of working people out there. I think that'll improve our lives more, although I'd love to see the bankers put on vacation too.
Well, maybe we can do it both. Okay, what are you working on for ordinary working people? You've got some federal legislation that's coming down the pike now, is that correct?
We do, and we're supporting, number one, a federal bill that's being reintroduced today, actually, on Capitol Hill, and that is the Healthy Families Act, about paid sick days. Now, we're not leading, my organization, Take Back Your Time, is in no way leading that, but we're just supporting that legislation, which is being promoted by the National Partnership for Women and Families and many other great organizations. But on Thursday of this week, I'm proud to announce that there'll be the introduction of the first national, first paid vacation law in U.S. history, and that is something that we are leading the charge on, and I will be speaking at the press conference at the U.S. House of Representatives on Thursday with Congressman Alan Grayson of Florida, who's introducing this first-time legislation.
Well, wow, that's exciting. Well, I mean, we got two bills that are very, very important for working.
Very important work-life balance bills. And there's a third one, actually, and that's Representative Pete Stark of California has entered a bill that would make the Family and Medical Leave Act a paid bill. So those three things, I think, are absolutely essential if we were to get a little work-life balance in this country. And I think we've got some supporters in the administration. Certainly Michelle Obama is a great supporter of work-life balance. And just yesterday, he's not in the administration, but was in the Clinton administration. I just got an email yesterday in my mailbox from Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor, endorsing our paid vacation proposal, and he's been a great supporter of these kind of things.
You know, this is great news. I'm telling you, there's not good news for working people coming out every day. Of course, announcing that bills are out there is one thing, and getting them passed, of course, or another.
Absolutely. And I must say that this is a very modest bill. It really only amounts to 2 weeks, and it will only extend even 3 years from now, when it really fully takes effect. It will only extend to companies with 50 employees. We want to strengthen it. We hope that once that bill gets out there, that people will write letters and that in committee and in other places or after this bill passes, that we'll be able to strengthen it, because I'd certainly like to see all American workers be covered under a bill like this. And eventually I'd like to see us get to have vacation time somewhat like the Europeans have. It was interesting that even Forbes magazine, the capitalist tool, you know, the conservative magazine, just had a piece out recently about the happiest countries in the world, and the U.S. didn't make the top 10. The top three were Denmark, Finland, and the Netherlands, and then Sweden was fourth, and so forth. And one of the things, there were three things that all the top happiest countries in the world had in common, according to Forbes magazine now, according to this conservative publication. Number one was that they pay the highest taxes, and they get something for those taxes, you know, obviously in the social services and safety net and things that they have. Number two, they're the most egalitarian countries. They have the smallest gap between rich and poor. And number three, they're the countries that have the most leisure time and the best work-life balance. So I think that tells you something. And when even Forbes has to write a piece about that and mention those specific points, it seems like we're thinking a little differently here.
Oh, boy. Well, John, this is exciting. You know, this is about time, too. Things are lining up in such a way with the economy tanking like it is. Got to tell you, Brenda and I, we ran up to Portland this last week and had an important meeting up there on Saturday. Won't go into that now. Stopped on the way home at they got a casino on I-5 in Canyonville, and we stopped there briefly. But what I got to tell you is, I walked around looking around, and who you look at. Now this is just a gut reaction. I didn't do a real survey or anything. But what I saw was I didn't see people with tuxedos, and I saw a lot of what looked like poor working people. My gut reaction is they probably don't have much vacation, if any. They probably don't have any retirement, and they didn't look very happy as they were giving money to the casino. My gut reaction is that they're banking on the fact they might win it big and be able to have a retirement someday and maybe not work their fingers to the bone. John, I just pointed this out because it was
I think that's absolutely right, and they're taking part in an economy which has been for the last great number of years a gambling economy. I mean, this has really been what it's about at the bottom and at the top, where we've speculated these enormous sums of money in the stock market and in the derivatives and credit default swaps and so forth. This is not an economy that's based on security and steady, sensible work for decent pay. This is a gambling economy. In fact, there was a very funny piece in the Onion newspaper, the humor newspaper, that said that, Americans' best chance right now of getting a retirement and stuff would be to make a half-court shot in a basketball game in one of those gimmicks, it was funny, but it was so really out there. But it illustrates a real truth, which is that this is not a secure economy for people, and not an economy that's built to work for the average person.
Wow, folks, we're speaking with John DeGraff this morning. He's our guest on the Brain Labor Report, and he's up in Seattle, Washington. We got the phone working for us, and he is talking about some important legislation. Multiple pieces, but he's much involved with one for paid vacation. First of its time ever in this country. That's going to be hitting Congress. Got a press release planned Thursday of this week. John, let me look at the clock here. We've got 6 minutes left to go. John, right. A little bit more for our listeners. Where can they find out more about this work, please?
Sure. Well, they can go to our website, which is my organization, Take Back Your Time. Our website is simply TimeDay, TimeDay.org. And a part of that website is the Right to Vacation section. And you can also just go to that directly, and that is simply righttovacation.org. So there's lots of information there. And on the front page, you'll see the press release for the new vacation bill that's coming out. We're pretty excited about it. As I say, it's very, very modest. It's not what we had ultimately wanted, but we're enthusiastic about supporting it because we believe you have to start somewhere. And this is a step forward. It opens the issue to the national audience. It gives us something concrete to begin to work on and to talk about. One thing that I'm hoping, of course, is that the labor movement will support this, get behind it in a big way. I'm obviously a big fan of organized labor, but I think labor has sometimes missed the boat a little bit in the past few decades in terms of continuing the fight for workers having time as well as wages. Unfortunately, in the past 30 years of conservative domination, workers haven't gotten either one.
I'm telling you, someone I heard recently say, so they don't put a luggage rack on a hearse, and that means you can't take it with you, John.
Right.
More valuable as we get older. Time goes faster, too, and we realize a little time and enjoying life is so, so important. Do we have a bill number yet or anything for this legislation?
We don't have a bill number, but we certainly should have one by Thursday, and of course that stuff after the press conference and the news information will have that on our site as well, probably by next week, But,
Sean, we're going to really look at, hope we get that press release from you. Maybe we can put something on the Rogue Independent Media Center. I don't know if mainstream media wants to touch this much. My God, people are so downtrodden in this country. This could
It's a surprising thing, Wes. They do. And they do touch it. And one thing I have found is that if there's anything that characterizes all these reporters out there, is that they tend to be overworked. There's some issues that they won't touch, but this one they actually do, and they're very interested in it. And we've had a lot of good response from mainstream media and from folks like you. So, I know it's been very difficult for groups to get a lot of the issues on mainstream media, but this time issue and this vacation issue actually is pretty popular with mainstream.
Okay, well, we're gonna be following it on the Brain Labor Report. That's who you're listening to this morning, 94.9 FM. Here in Ashland, Oregon, KSKQ. Could be hearing us anywhere on the planet at www.kskq.org. And just under 3 minutes to go. Not enough time to really get into it, but I'll ask quickly, any video projects you're working on these days, John?
Well, you bet, Wes. I just finished a new film, which I think you'd appreciate and folks down there. In fact, I'd love some time to come down to Ashland and show it. It's called What's the Economy For Anyway?
Ah.
And it's a 40-minute, very humorous monologue by an economist about, just what we're doing all this for, and takes a look at the aspects of quality of life in America, social justice, and the gap between rich and poor, and finally environmental sustainability, and the quality of life and justice and sustainability are what the economy is for, and we're not doing a very good job in the United States at procuring those things through our economic system.
John, there's some folks in Portland, Oregon, working on a big economic forum for in October, and I'm going to bet they are going to be very interested in that work. I want to put you in touch with what's going on there, John.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, we're getting a great response to this new film from folks all over the country, and, it touches on all of these kinds of issues, and it's short enough that people can use it in house parties and small groups and communities and labor meetings and stuff, and really get a good dialogue going about what I think is the fundamental question: what's the economy for anyway?
I'm telling you, not enough time to get into it, but we had the CEO of the Rogue Federal Credit Union here and learned that money stays in our community. And in fact, we don't want to put it in Bank of America any longer. We want to put it in our credit union. Maybe we can talk about that as another issue, and get you back here again on the Brain Labor Report, John.
You bet, Wes.
Okay, well, there's something to look for. Just under a minute to go. We're going to say goodbye now to John DeGraff, and we want to keep our ears to the ground, listening to the hum on the rails. We want to find out what's going on with this bill, so please keep in touch with us, John.
Will do. Thanks for having me on your program.
Okay, we'll
have
talk.
Have a great day. Solidarity forever here.
All right, John.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
John DeGraff's our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report. It's time to say goodbye. We're trying to line up one of the workers with Republic Working Doors and Windows, and held that factory in Chicago for tomorrow. We'll see if we're successful there. Okay, folks, have a great day. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye now.